ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय क्षमत्वं मम दौरात्म्यं साधवो दीनवत्सलः इत्युक्त्वाश्रु मुखापादौ शालः स्वस्त्रो रथाग्रही क्षमाध्वम् काइंडली एक्सक्यूज मम माय दौरात्म्यम एट्रोसियस एक्टिविटीज साधवः बोथ ऑफ यू आर ग्रेट सेंटली पर्सन्स दीनवत्सलः and are very kind to poor. Poor, cripple-minded persons. Iti uktva, saying this, ashrumukha, his face full of tears, padav, the feet, syalaha, his brother-in-law, Swashro of his sister and brother-in-law. Atha, thus, agrahit, captured. Translation and purport. Kamsa begged, my dear sister and brother-in-law, please be merciful to such a poor-hearted person as me, since both of you are saintly persons. Please excuse my atrocities. Having said this, Kamsa fell at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki, his eyes full of tears of regret. Purport. Although Kamsa had spoken very nicely on the subject of real knowledge, his past deeds were abominable and atrocious, and therefore he further begged forgiveness from his sister and brother-in-law by falling at the feet and admitting that he was a most sinful person. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, on the order of Dharmatma Prabhu, Panchagoda Prabhu, I'm trying to speak something. Please bless that I can speak something. We are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa. Text number 23. Kamsa begged, "My dear sister and brother-in-law, please be merciful to such a poor-hearted person as me. Since both of you are saintly persons, please excuse my atrocities." Having said this, Kamsa fell at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki, his eyes full of tears of regret. So, we are going through this chapter where Kamsa, out of his fear for the death at the hands of 8 sons of Devaki, he was killing every child that was born. And now 6 children were killed. One was, according to him, aborted, because that was Sankarshan Balaramji, was transferred to the womb of Rohini. And now Krishna was born, he was taken to Gokul and exchanged with the daughter who was brought from Nanda Maharaj. And in spite of pleading to spare the daughter, he went ahead because of his extremely selfish nature and tried to dash that girl. But she left, went to the sky, assumed the form of Ashtabhuja Durga, and she proclaimed that the person whom you are trying to kill is already born somewhere else. After hearing this, he became extremely fearful. And now he understands that, what have I done? He knew the concept of what is sin, what is good, what is bad. He had a lot of knowledge. So he is repenting, and it appears that they are like crocodile tears, that he is actually having tears in his eyes. But no, he is actually repenting. He has actual tears. He is actually begging forgiveness. This is a fact. That is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. But all his knowledge which he shared with Vasudeva and Devaki, that how this world is temporary and how the relationships are temporary, and you should not get attached to this, all this is giving the knowledge. So it appears as if some great rishi is speaking. Similarly, we see when Hiranyaksha died, Hiranyakashipu went to pacify the wives of Hiranyaksha. Again, he gave a lot of sermons on the eternal nature of the soul and how the Kala is the prominent factor in this world, how everything happens according to the karmic reactions. So all knowledge was given perfectly, like he was speaking Bhagavad Gita. So the Asuras, they have this ability, they have the knowledge. Ravan also had a lot of knowledge, but they use it for justification. So now, what is Kamsa doing? He is actually trying to put the responsibility of whatever has happened on Vasudeva and Devaki. It's your bad karma. That's what he is doing. So they are expert in talking philosophy also. They know the philosophy. Like One time I was talking on the subject of how decisions are made. So there is a first class decision, there is a second class decision, and there is a third class decision. So first class decision, it is said that it is immediately the consensus is reached, it is according to scriptures, and people immediately agree. The second class decision is that there is not much agreement, but there is good discussion, and taking help of the scriptures, you come to an agreement. And the third class decision is where no one actually agrees with each other. Somehow by force, using various tricks, without any scriptural injunction, you come to some conclusion, and that is the decision. So we may think that this is some great knowledge somebody has given, but this was Ravana speaking. Ravana was telling this to his assembly, that this is how decisions are taken. So they have a lot of knowledge which they bring up when it suits them. So here also we can see that Kamsa is doing exactly the same thing. He suddenly realized that this material world is temporary and the soul is eternal. So all that, so far he didn't bother about it. But now suddenly when he is in a precarious situation, when he knows that he might be now killed very soon, and he has that responsibility of dashing on the rock all these six children, so he is giving a lot of philosophy. So the Srila Prabhupada, he classified people in this world into two categories only, suras and asuras. That's only two categories, no other category. And Haigiri Prabhu, he was asking questions. So one time he is asking, Prabhupada, you said suras and asuras, only two classes, but don't you think there are people in between? They are not suras, they are not asuras. And Prabhupada very categorically, in between means asuras. So yeah, there are suras and asuras, in between means asuras. So basically, either you accept the authority of God, Krishna, and utilize your knowledge in that direction. Just having knowledge is not sufficient for us to be classified in the sura category. Because knowledge here given by Kamsa is perfect. He's speaking the same knowledge which all of us go and preach to people. But the asuric feeling is that I will utilize this knowledge for my benefit and not for Krishna's benefit. That's the basic difference. So we need to be careful about this whole mentality of Kamsa, which is also within us. We all, every shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita, everything we learn from scriptures and devotees, we always apply to ourselves. It is for us. The philosophical classes are not for hearing something and just going and repeating to somebody to impress. They are meant for our purification and going deeper within ourselves. So that's the reason we will now deal with this Kamsa mentality. That how do we look at this mentality? So Kamsa and Vasudeva Devaki, both are sitting in our heart. They are both there. The Kamsa mentality is also there. And the Vaishnava mentality of Vasudeva and Devaki, who are ready to forgive. Actually they are impressed that he is crying. He is repentant. So in future shlokas you will see that they are actually immediately ready to forgive him. That's the Vaishnava part of it. And there is Kamsa part of ourselves. We have these two natures which are constantly struggling to win over each other and try to control the personality within us, our soul, Jivatma, who is naturally dedicated, his nature, dormant Krishna consciousness is already there. But this asuric voice is continuously haunting all of us. So what is this asuric voice trying to do to us? That's what we are going to deal with today. So the asura within us, he doesn't want to improve. He just wants to justify. So in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada is on the first shloka, Vacho Vegam Manasa, he gives in the purport, he starts with saying that Parikshit Maharaj had a very valid question to Sukadeva Goswami, that why people, when they commit some sinful activity, something wrong they commit, what is that thing by which people keep on committing the same activity again and again and again? And Prabhupada elaborates on that. That some people, they just hear that something is wrong from the scriptures or authorities and they will never do it. So these are the first class people. Then there are people who will not understand by just hearing, but they will see the result of doing that something wrong, either being punished by the law. And after being punished, they rectify themselves, they are okay, no more. And there is a third category. The third category is that person hears, then sees that somebody is being punished, he himself gets punishment, but then he comes out and again does the same activity. Jai Shri Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Ki, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ji Ki, Shri Lalita Vishakha Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. So this rascal mentality, Prabhupada says, is always there with us. That no matter how much we see, how much we hear, still we want to do that wrong thing. And that is also becomes a mentality. That is within, sitting within us, that we want to do that activity again and again. Comparing to the bath of an elephant, the elephant goes to the river, takes nice bath, scrubs himself very well, just comes out and immediately puts all the dirt on himself. Kunjara Savchavat. So this is the predicament that as devotees also we can go through. Or we do go through every now and then. That we know something is wrong, but helplessly we come to the same mood again. So, Kamsa is that rascal who doesn't understand things that by hearing or by any other way, he is hell-bent on defying what is being already said by the scriptures in a proper way, how it should be properly done. So this is a recognition that as devotees we have, that within us this rascal mentality, this Kamsa mentality always exists. So let us deal with this Kamsa within us. So here let us look at what Kamsa is doing, so which will be applicable to us also. So first of all, he is quoting scriptures. He is already quoting scriptures. Now, we get very impressed by somebody, you know, quoting wonderful shlokas. We imagine, what a wonderful devotee. So, quoting shloka is not a qualification for being a great devotee. And that's what we can hear. So, he is quoting scriptures to justify, you know, whatever I did was your karma. Now, we hear many times, you know, amongst devotees also, that somebody will come in, it's your karma, what to do. And it's very hard-headed to say this actually. Somebody is suffering, we should immediately first empathize with him. And unless he asks, okay, how did it happen, and he is in that mood of understanding, actually we should not say that it's your karma. It's very hard-headed, because we may lose the person. That person will think, you are so hard-headed, you don't understand what I'm going through. But here, What is his mentality? I am right. No matter, even though I have done something wrong, I am right. That's how it is. That's the Kamsa mentality within us. That something goes wrong, and we will always blame either the environment, the people around us, or the policies. So many things we can blame. Except us, everything else has to be blamed. So that's the mentality, Kamsa mentality within us, which always tells you that you are right, everything else is wrong. There is a biblical saying, the devils quote scriptures and tremble. So you can actually show as if you're quoting scriptures. I know. You can show ecstasies, but that is not enough proof. The Kamsa mentality is still there. The second thing he does is, he is putting all the responsibility of his wrongs on Vasudeva and Devaki. What is he saying? Actually, you know, it was your bad karma. It just happened to you as a, you know, cycle of, so you can say, kala, which has affected you. So, you should know that it's because of you, not because of me. Sometimes we hear this, the devotees, they may question their own authorities or guru, saying that you are not pure enough to actually make me inspired. So, I am lazy, I don't want to do something and I am blaming someone else. That my inspiration is lacking because I don't see enthusiasm in you. You are not pure enough to guide me. You do not have that purity to take us along. What can we do? You might have heard those who are preaching, they know that these things are common. And now, he also has one more mentality, which is also within us. That, okay, I am doing something wrong and ultimately I am fallen. What to do, Prabhu? I am fallen. Okay, I have done something wrong, but I don't want to be punished for it. Whereas a devotee actually asks for punishment. An asuric mentality says, no, please excuse me, I don't want to be punished. So this is the third point he is saying, but a devotee is completely opposite to that. In fact, a devotee is always asking, we hear the shloka from Brahmaji, Tattenu Kampa Susumikshamano. That means a devotee happily suffers, he is ready to suffer for whatever wrongs he has done in the past. And he takes it as mercy of the Lord. That okay, you have given me very token punishment for something which was huge from my side. But you gave me some little token punishment. I am so grateful to you. You have reduced my punishment to a minuscule degree. So this is how a devotee thinks. But Asura is, I don't want to be punished. So, the devotee, here Kamsa is really repentant. You can see that, he is crying. You can't just cry just like that. He is repentant. He is very guilty. So as devotees also we must understand how do we deal with this guilt. Because there is a popular kind of a notion that don't feel guilty. I was in the Radha Landaneshwar temple and there were students used to come, young students, and they would have these circular groups and group discussions, and anything what they want to say they would say. And one day I was told, you also participate. So I just wanted to see what these young people speak about. So some of them are budding devotees, somebody is already a devotee and somebody is just a newcomer. So various people, different kinds of groups. So, I saw that one person was actually sobbing, crying, and the other person was like sort of pacifying him. By the time I entered, this was happening. So I said, what happened? Why is he crying? Why is he sobbing? And that person was continuously telling, don't feel guilty, just give up the guilt. You are like this because you are feeling too guilty about it. Just give up the guilt. So everyone was talking, yes, we should, this guilt is very bad, just give up the guilt. So then I said, what is wrong with guilt? Guilt is good. Without guilt, you cannot simply rectify yourself. So this guilt being bad is also an asuric mentality. Guilt is actually a call of Paramatma to tell us, I am trying to give you some feeling by which you can rectify yourself. Come out of it. It's a very, very important feeling in our life. Because if the guilt goes away, just like I have this body and I have these pain fibers in my body, neurons, there are C-type of various types of fibers, they have particular sensor for pain. If I just knock out all your, say, C-fibers or the neurons which accept pain, what will happen to you? You will injure yourself here, there, you will get thorn pricks and you will not even know. So somebody may say, that's very good, I have no pain. But you will destroy your body because it will have injuries, it will have infections and you will never know that you have this problem. So guilt plays that role. Guilt plays that role that we can rectify and immediately come to senses that, okay, I must stop this. This is not good. So how a devotee deals with his guilt is very, very important. And therefore, let's go a little bit deeper on that side. So a devotee by nature, he actually is humble. So first of all, he will always accept the responsibility of whatever wrong is going on in his own life. He will never shirk the responsibility saying that this is not because of me. And he is ready to suffer. We see so many prayers of our acharyas who are always saying that I have this, for example, Rupa Goswami, he recommends, how do we pray in front of the deity? So first he says, when you go in front of the deity, glorify the Lord. And then, after glorifying the Lord, present yourself by saying that, I am very much ashamed of my past misdeeds. This is how the prayer begins, a Dainya prayer. That when we approach the Lord, not that I am chanting your holy name. So, you know, you do me this favor, that favor, that's not the reason. We just go and present ourselves that this is what I am. I don't know where I stand in spiritual life, but this is the reality of my life. My past, even present, is blackened by various misdeeds. So please kindly forgive me. When we go in front of deity, sometimes, you know, the deities appear happy, sometimes they appear sad. But actually we are not able to see Krishna. Krishna is seeing us, but we are unable to see. So knowing that he sees us, we can present ourselves. That please, understand who I am. You already know, but I am telling that I also know. I am really bad. Because something like when we come to Krishna consciousness, then, you know, step by, we all know the science. Adho Shraddha, Tatha Sadhu Sangha, Anartha Nivritti. Step by, Bhajan Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha. So step by step, we have by-hearted that. We know this, after this, this has to happen. So imaginary kind of a situation happens in our life that, oh, now I must be at probably Nishtha, or I might be a Madhyam Adhikari. So many things might come to our heart, and people will tell you that you are a great soul. You give wonderful classes, you are a wonderful manager, or you are a wonderful pure devotee. Never believe them, because you know what you are. So sort of a reverse self-realization that, okay, where am I? Where am I standing today? Because only we know our heart, we know our secret desires, we know what we think, what we do. So that's from that position only we need to pray, not from any other position. So that's what a devotee does, that he is ready to accept all the responsibility for what he has done. The second point he does is, it's not just accepting the responsibility, but rectifying it permanently. He's ready. He's ready and determined. Okay? It happened. I'm not surprised, because this is what I am. You know, sometimes the devotee may go down in his spiritual life, but nothing to surprise. This is how we are. We are fallible. We are continuously fallible. All the time. So if there is no devotees protecting us, the mercy of the Lord is not protecting us because of our own nature being proud, then what will happen? We will go down. And in spite of that, a devotee understanding that yes, the Lord's mercy is unlimited. I may be fallen, but He is the savior of the fallen. He is Patita Pavan. So I have faith in His compassion, not in my ability. And in this way, he is very much determined to go on. And in this way, he analyzes himself again and again and again. Every now and then he is analyzing, where am I? What am I doing? So, while analyzing, we understand that what is the source of our fallen nature? How do we fall down? Why are we continuously trying to climb, we come down, trying to swim, we go down? Why is this happening? So, we'll just go through some shlokas of the Gita, which is very nicely describing this whole phenomenon. How does it happen? So, this is the third chapter of Gita, in which Krishna is telling us how to behave, how to work. Because in this material world, we are, as long as we are there, we have to work according to our own psychosocial nature or varnashrama system, wherever we are situated. We have to work. So in the third chapter, Krishna is telling Arjun, that the main reason why we are continuously being devoured by this material world is because of our contact with Rajoguna, the lust which is always haunting us, is the most sinful enemy devouring us all the time. So what is this lust doing? It is making the senses run after the objects of the senses. So the objects of senses are more powerful than the senses. We all see that picture of the horses depicted as the senses. And they are just running after their own objects. But the senses are, you can say, helpless in front of the objects of the senses. But the mind is more powerful than the objects of the senses. So therefore the rain is compared to the mind. The mind is more powerful. So it may appear very, very difficult a task to actually progress in spiritual life, just because all the time we are surrounded by various objects of senses, all the time. And we cannot avoid that. We cannot go to some Himalaya and sit in a cave. You will come out, because the mind is very active. So Krishna, when he is saying that you are actually being devoured, he talks about here. This is a beautiful shloka. How do we come out of it? Because we try and we come down. We try, we give in. So Krishna is saying, karmendriyani samyam ya aste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimudatma mithyacharasa uchyate. So don't engage in an activity by which you imagine that you are at a certain level. It's a mithyachara. Be realistic. Be realistic that understand that the senses are helpless in front of their objects. And therefore, he says, put them in regulation. Yastvindriyani manasa nyamyarabhate arjuna karmendriya karma yogam asaktas visishyate. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga or action in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. So, this is Krishna's advice to us, that go on. Go on without worries, because this will happen. Do not be surprised. Things are going to go up and down in spiritual life also. But stick to the niyamya or regulation. And in this way, we will be able to somehow sail through this whole tug of war between the senses and the objects of senses, because they are the root cause of our problem. And once he has done this niyamya or regulation, many times, even after complete regulation, like many times we take vows, oh, I went wrong because of XYZ, I ate too many sweets, okay, from today, no sweets. So you start fencing yourself. And the Bhakti Lata is being fenced. Okay, this happened, so one pole of fence. Then something else happened, another pole. So there is too many poles around the Bhakti Lata. So too many vows. But that is not sufficient. Because the positive side has to be there. The Shravanam, Kirtanam, Navavida, Bhakti. It has to continuously pour the water on the Bhakti Lata, not just taking vows for restrictions. Too many restrictions, actually, the mind will revolt. It revolts. Sufficient. Enough. I cannot do it anymore. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I quit. Why it happens? Because the Bhakti Lata was never nurtured. We were too much focused on the negative aspect of our behavior. But that is not what Krishna is expecting us to. He is expecting us to rise to a higher test. Rasavarjam rasopasya param drishtvanivartate. Our whole science, which Srila Prabhupada gave us, is a science of higher test. Prabhupada created that higher test. Okay, you are attached to meat eating, you are attached to drinking wine, whatever nonsense you are attached. Okay, here is prasad. Take prasad, enjoy to your heart's content. In fact, he would keep those jars filled with those golden balls, gulab jamuns. And any devotee could just walk in, pop in some gulab jamuns and be happy. And Prabhupada allowed that. Only till one day he said, you should not eat too much prasad. Too much luxurious and sweet prasad. So immediately devotee said that, Prabhupada, but you said you eat to your heart's content. Prabhupada said, but that time you never objected. Now I am saying, eat less, you are objecting. So that is our mentality again. That we would like to take that part of philosophy which suits us. This is exactly the Kansa mentality. So in spite of niyamya, we may still make mistakes. And for that, there is another factor which comes in. And that factor is that we are conscious, very, very conscious that we are simply helpless without the mercy of the Lord and the Vaishnavas, the Guru. We are simply helpless. There is no other saving grace except their mercy. You may have perfect lifestyle. You're following four regular principles, chanting 16 rounds, completely attentive chanting, everything you might do. But that will make us, Maya is waiting, he's doing so much perfect, let him do it more perfectly. I'll support him. Let him do to such perfection that he thinks that no one else can do it except me. So as soon as that ahankara enters, that's the first thing that attacks us before the next fall. So therefore, a devotee maintains that humble attitude all the time, remembering that every other devotee is better than me. I am simply dependent on the collective mercy of the Vaishnavas. I am simply dependent on the mercy of my Guru. And with that mercy only we can be saved. That niyamya is for our determination, to exhibit our determination, to show Krishna that I am determined, I have not given up. I am there with you. But your mercy is always required. Without that, I will not be able to survive in Krishna consciousness. There is a beautiful story which His Holiness Radhana Swami told once. Very beautiful story. But how this guilt and mercy, how much they are connected, how we can depend on the mercy of the Lord and come out of this guilt feeling or the kamsa mentality. So he was saying that, I don't know the source of this, but he said some of the biographers, they have written, various biographers have written books on Lord Chaitanya and his travels. So we know all that Lord Chaitanya at the age of 24 he took sannyas, and by 25, 26 he was traveling South India and liberating people, making them Vaishnavas. So in that, of course, he visited Mumbai. That time it was known as Dvaipayani, because it has many islands. So Dvaipayani was the place where he visited. He visited another nearby place called Shurparak. All of you might be happy to know this, that in Shurparak we have our own extension center of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. We have a nice place there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there. And from there, he went to Pune. So in Pune, he was reminded of Navadvip, because Pune was, even today, Pune is very famous for education. And Navadvip was also very famous for education. Many, many educational institutes. So he came and he was happy there. So he visited one village nearby Pune, it's known as Kondwa. So this Kondwa is actually a place where now our temple is existing, the new temple, Pune temple. So in Kondwa, there was a temple where the selfish pujaris, again asura in the form of pujaris, what they had done was, because that is the time when brahmanas had practically whole power on the society, they could direct the society. So then what they would do is, young unmarried girls who would come to the temple. So they would sometimes, because they were very devoted, so these pujaris would marry them to the deity. That you are now married to the deity, deity of the Lord. So now since you are wife of the Lord, you are above the laws of karma. So no laws apply to you. You can do anything. And in this way, they would engage them in killing people, robbing people, seducing people, prostitution, everything. And initially, of course, there is always a guilt that what am I doing? But then, once you keep on doing the same thing repeatedly, what happens? Guilt dies. There is no guilt. So they became practically like monsters who would target people and finish them off. So when we are feeling guilty, actually we should immediately take notice of it. Because sometimes when we pinch ourselves, so you pinch and you feel pain. But you keep on pinching, after some time the pain goes away. There is no more pain, because the part becomes numb. Similarly, our personality, if we don't take notice of the guilt and act on it, just go on, no problem, don't feel guilty, what will happen? One day the guilt will go away. You become so numb and so dull. There is no way of thinking properly. Same thing happened to these girls. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there. He was young, beautiful, he's Purushottama. And they saw him. Extremely beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya, golden. So they were planning how to deal with him. And Lord Chaitanya, when he saw them from a different angle. He saw them that these people have become so fallen that there is no trace of guilt, trace of any kind of good behavior. So he was internally actually very sad. He was pitying them and he was trying to give them his mercy. The way he looked at them, those all these unmarried girls, they were called as Devadasis, they became completely purified from inside. And first time after several years, their guilt came up, repentance came up, and they started crying. And those tears, profuse tears, they purified. And then they begged forgiveness, that we were trying to do something to you, but you have completely purified us. Now tell us what to do. And Lord Chaitanya, as usual, he told them, do Sankirtan. Chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, the whole group of these Devadasis, they became great devotees. And they gave up all their material prosperity, everything was given up. And they started their own Sankirtan party. And by their chanting, actually millions of people became devotees later on. This is a story which he told to see how we can actually awaken somebody's guilt from a very numb life, which is exactly what Prabhupada also did. When Prabhupada came to the West, people had no understanding that this is something wrong. It was all taken as normal. You know, the way the materialistic persons think is that they'll always justify their behavior, even though as atrocious or as downgraded their behavior may be, it is accepted as normal. Oh, you don't do it? This is normal. Come on. Everyone must do it. So what happens? No one can question each other. No one can say that, oh, this is wrong. Because everyone accepts it. It's completely normal. So in this way, Prabhupada, when he saw all these people, what he did is poured out his mercy to them. Completely. Why people, after 50 years, Prabhupada disciples, when they talk about it, why do they cry? Why do they cry? Because they received it. They received from Prabhupada something which Lord Chaitanya gave to those Devadasis. That he actually gave that mercy. And because of that mercy, their repentance, guilt, reawakened and they rectified themselves. Many couldn't rectify completely. That is also there. But still, the mood of Lord Chaitanya prevailed in Prabhupada's life. We can see that there is one, Harishavari Prabhu tells this story in his those diaries which he writes. Prabhupada would receive every day some mail. Mails would come. And one day he writes that there is a unusual mail came. So what was that unusual mail? It was a long parcel. And when it was opened, it was a sannyas danda of his, one of his disciples. So the sannyas danda, with that there is a small note of repentance that I am very sorry and I am unable to follow the vows of sannyas. So I am returning this danda to you. So natural response of anyone who is superficial would be, oh, this is vantasi. Scriptures tell us this is exactly what vantasi means. A sannyasi accepts life of renunciation and then he vomits and licks it again. So this is vantasi. So Prabhupada knew this. But Prabhupada didn't say that. Prabhupada, what did he say? At least he is sincere. That was Prabhupada's response. And this is what made that devotee remain in Krishna consciousness. So, we as devotees, we have to utilize this this knowledge from the scriptures, that how the concise is sitting within us and how it is justifying everything, all nonsense we are doing. Actually, justification of our nonsense on the strength of bhakti is the seventh offense against the holy name. So that we should be very careful. And then while doing that activity of rectification, being dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. This is how we can deal with our own guilt. That guilt is there, but it should not kill us. Neither should we kill the guilt and rectify ourselves with determination. That determination comes from the association of Vaishnavas. The bala, Balaram gives us bala. So that bala, which comes from the Guru, who is representative of Lord Balaram. And in this way, with holy name, with Vaishnava Seva association, we can all make the right use of this guilt problem. And we should never say that, don't feel guilty. Allow the people to feel guilty, but help them, do not judge them. And in this way, we ourselves in our own lives, we can be protected from the Kamsa mentality which we have. So this is all I would like to say in this particular shloka. I thank you all very much for patiently listening. I am not very qualified, but still I have spoken, so please excuse me. Hare Krishna. So any comments or questions?
So not taking blame, he was saying that providence or devaki malta is your own karma. Why was he feeling guilty then if he wasn't really taking the blame? You know, he started crying. He must have had some guilt also.
He had.
And then sometimes they say, hey, don't lay a guilt trip on me. You know, so if you're talking to someone and you're trying to correct them or something, or maybe give some, and they say, don't lay a guilt trip on me. Can you give some feedback?
I'm just trying to, because I'm not so familiar with this guilt trip. No. This is a common, probably, yeah, it's an American thing, a guilt trip. I'm not so familiar, but yes, guilt trip means, actually we should allow the people to go on a guilt trip. This is how I look at it, because without guilt there is no question of any rectification. As soon as we kill the guilt, there is no chance of rectification. Guilt is, as far as I have heard from His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, guilt is very good. Guilt is a call of Paramatma. Paramatma is telling you, it's not good. It's not good for you. So I would say guilt trip is good.
Say little guilt, not too much guilt.
Yeah, too much guilt to, almost like killing you. Too much guilt like killing you, no. That should not be. With guilt we have also faith and confidence in Lord's mercy. That His Patit Pavan, no matter how low you are, He is going to save you. But that doesn't mean that I remain there. There is another part of this. I am not going to voluntarily remain there, but no matter where I am, His hands are very long. He saved that lizard from the well just by putting the hand, and He took out that lizard. He can reach anywhere. So He is Patita Pavan, He will save us. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.